preface to Homage to Coleridge. This is quotes from a letter. I don't really understand your ballad, why you are writing that way. It doesn't seem the right direction for you. It seems wasteful, both of yourself and in general, like writing sonnets. Or do you think I'm too narrow-minded? Perhaps it is a way to something for you. But when I remember what else you have written, even long since, as well as of late especially, I can't quite believe that they aren't like something you might have written very long ago. But I expect in all these weeks since you sent them, you've almost forgotten them. So enough. And so a preface upon a wasteful seriousness, which is fantasy that might be imagination. And I have dedicated the whole to Coleridge for his Christabel. Denise Levertov is more than right when she saw that they might have been like something I might have written very long ago. These are poems of solitary adolescence written out some night in 1930 into these evenings of 1955 on the island of Majorca. Pseudo-romanticism, but not exactly by artful design. I have not now, almost a year later, almost forgotten them, for these imitations of romantic forms have roots. Roots first in first hearing poetry, which was storytelling, weaving of fairy scenes. This recalled by Helen Adam, extraordinary nurse of enchantment, who read her ballads of evil passions and old lore. This was in San Francisco, 6 months before these poems. Recalled another image of a woman reading, herself the sorceress of evil and of good, who was not really merely mother, because mother proved never to be she. Roots then in that guilt which is called knowledge of good and evil, and maybe of solitary pleasures and displeasures, roots in privacy. One evening in Banyo Bufar, a woman asked me with a stab of accusation, I think, you play around with magic, don't you? It is such nonsense words, such accusations of private fantasy as witchcraft or devil playing or spirit talking that can move the heart to gasps of old terrors. The Christians tell us that we are guilty for our private desires. The Hermeticists tell us that all hidden fantasy lives and sits upon the threshold of what we are at last. Freudians tell us that all deeds and things wear, that the world as we see it wears, the enchantment of such a dweller. So, long after this passing accusation, I sat writing that ballad and found myself setting out to meet my accuser and to call upon my Savior. Knowledge of evil, like knowledge of good, is a phantom that vanishes before the adventure of a poem, as a devil must vanish before the dawn cockcrow of a Christ name. Right directions and very long ago. Poems for me are states of being or kinds of being. In the oldest accusation I know, there is a real me, and that's not the real me. But Proust and then Bergson brought me to see it another way, however I have understood them, that being might be a waste of myself, a sloughing off if it were thought of as direction. Out of Cocteau's movies I learned another thing, that what apparently was a progress of images in time might as well be the reappearances of an identity, avatars of an event or a person, in a tower falling, in a man moving down a hall, in a mouth and a hand calling for air. Very long ago seems very long ago indeed. What is the use of being a little boy if you are growing up to be a man? Gertrude Stein asks repeatedly in her Geographical History of America. These parts of my homage are not, then, direction, right or wrong, at all, but wasteful reappearances of the statement of my history. Not immediate, drawn almost painfully or with strain from my life, but distant, drawn from my storybook, or from a storybook, so much anyone's old storybook that it seems wasteful in general. I will read one ballad from the Homage to Coleridge. The Green Lady. My lady rode out from her green house, and her eye in the bright of noon was bright with another light than the sun's, distilled from a green as the green sap runs, dark of the earth, fire of the air, brightness of May, green of the leaf. My lady rode out in the fields of noon to claim the atom as her own. To claim the atom as her own, she rode upon his wedding day. His mother heard the horns of May like jackdaws in a bright peach tree. She saw in her loved son's sleeping eye, like fruit of the garden in which we die, the dreams of the night that were so bright they shone in the light of day. My son, the good dame said, think of your dear heart's bride that our good Lord to please you by took from out of your side. The other world, all green and gold, shone in her poor son's eye. Dear Christ, upon grief's holy tree, gave the body of this world to thee. To save this world from that other world, he took the cross upon his back, and he was born and died. She laid his wedding clothes out black upon the white, white bed. She laid her fond, light hand upon his heavy head. Across the fields between two worlds, the fairy hosts of day went out like streams in the moving grass where no true breezes were. The rivery green of the bright spring wheat waved in the still, still air. I hear another world, poor Adam said, another world I see. The flesh of this world is dark today. The joys of my heart pass away like a host of folk that through the grass appear to be poppies to this world's eye. All lightness they are of another air, like childhood's joy they pass. The poppy fires in the green fields hair, the sunlit ghosts of the month of May. The church bells rang their loud alarm against the brightnesses of day. Adam and his true bride went within the church that would undo great sin. The holy sacrament of life and death guarded the concourses of breath. The holy vows like angels stood to guard the doors of their hot blood. The bands upon their fingers bright shone like lanterns for the night. This wedding will undo great sin. The bells rang out to the still of day. The groom and bride were wed within. The lady rode to her green house, bright as noon her eye, and with her rode like a ghost of noon, immortal Adam, green as the leaf, red as the flower, bright with sleep. Two Adams there were where Our Lady smiled. One by his bride stood, and one grown wild rode by Our Lady's side, his tearless eye, a green, green joy in the world that cannot die, his broken heart, a bright peach tree, in that false wood that cannot grieve, his double soul like the air on fire, in that false garden burn for her, Our Lady of Green Desire. Now I'm going to read a section from the introduction to the book Letters, published by Jargon Editions, number 14. L'œuvre du vivant, l'œuvre du fantôme. On the 11th of February, 1855, Jesus Christ revealed to Victor Hugo, il n'y a que des âmes égales devant l'amour, il n'y a que des amours égaux devant Dieu. The lore of Denis Seurat in The Gods of the People, Death and the Dreamer, and L'Expérience de l'Au-delà, as well as the lore of Moses of Leon in the Zohar, has been food for the letters of this alphabet. It is not expression or creation that I seek, but my inventions are addressed to an adventure, the medium of words. In the orders of the actual and in the orders of the fantastic, a world. Worlds are constantly revealed through mediums of the art. A life, then, or lives. In these 37 years, I have had lives, deaths, reincarnations, that verify in their microcosm all that plurality of worlds and lives that the initiated disclose to us. And here I declare a mood in writing conceived as a tuning of the language, as the ear, hand, eye, brain are tuned towards a possible music. Incapable of love, I have made up love. I am servant of thee, love. Incapable of writing, I have made up writing. Servant of the genius that lies in the language before which I have no genius. How it excites my soul that there are indeed only souls equal before that love. All conviction of atheism disappears before the liberation in which there are only loves equal before God. For this God in which we dwell finds all our loves as we knew them to be, the love. He finds all our poor writing as we knew it to be, the writing. In these excesses of confidence, I become nameless agency of movements in a book that unimagined generations project. Then with that triumph of assertion, that dear courage in which the creature addresses the creator, for we have in faith to take our stand with God and say, it is good, I sign my name. I, Robert Duncan, made this as best I know. Inspired, the aspirant almost, without breath. It is a breath out breathed, an aspiration pictured as the familiar spirit hoverer above, each loved each. A word giving up its ghost, memorized as the flavor from the vowels, the bowels of meaning. Hesitate, as if the bone cranium helmet in hearing, clearing, old Graham atter. Be still thy brave and hear them speak. Voices, images, essences, as only in Yeats' desolation of reality. Specialization, yes, better to stump, oh, to it. You could have knocked me over with a feather weight of words. The sense, slight but absolute. Knock, knock, knock some sense into me head. Okay. Better awake to it, for one eyes wide open vision or photograph than ritual. Specialization, yes, even if the old ritual is lost. I was completely lost and saw the sign without meaning to. This was not the design. Great effort, straining, breaking up all the melodic line, the lyric strain. Don't hand me that old line, we say. You don't know what you're saying. Why not abstract, attractive, mere sound is more a round of disabscontraction, a disconstruction for the reading of words. This of imaginary sounds, I mean sound signs, I mean things designed in themselves, I mean boundary marks, I mean abounding memorizations, I mean a memorial rising, I mean a conglomerations without rising. One, a dead camel. Two, a nude tree. Three, a hot mouth smoking. Four, an old saw, rusty edge. Five, a copy of the original. Six, an animal face. Seven, a broken streetcar. Eight, a fake cigar. Nine, papers. Ten, a holy shawl. 11, the addition of the unplanned for interruption, a flavor stinking coffee. How to brew another cup in that Marianne Moore, E.P., Williams, H.D., Stein, Zukowski, Stevens, Paris, surrealist, Dada stained pot by yours, R.D. 12, a table set for breakfast. A morning language. I a wailing, the failing. For a song of the languages. What are the signs of life? The breath, the pulse, the constant sloughing off of old stuff in creasing, increasing. Notes. To hesitate, retract. Step by step, to be idiot awkward. To take care, by the throat and throttle it. Bottle that genius for mere magic or intoxic vacations. It is sober he stumbles on truth, hell no. This he sober gnaws, the inconsequential eternity of his skull. His appetite is not experimental. Upon taking hold, the world as we reach stretches a hand in sight. Thumb, mountain, tidelands of lines, the heart and head lines, the palmist said, stars shattering from moon to slumbering Venus. Mount Tamalpais. Cézanne restored the destroyed mountain, and the hand in the painting comes up from its illusion. A man shaped to the world's face stretches upon his face to wear the given mask. Shaking himself from his ward, a ready dog, it is to grasp or to measure a hand's breadth. This hand, mine, as I write, dares its contradiction, comes to rest, tenses, shakes, seizes, or is seized by the mind. Mind, hand, eye, moves over the keys, it is the exercise. The poetry, now, a gesture, a lifting of sentences, the wind lifts, palm outward in a dress, fingers, exactly, curled. It is a fact. The words not to be altered. Is there another alter than the fact we make, the form, fate, future, dared, desired in the act? Words can drop as my hand drops, hawk on wing, wait, wait and drops. To conquer inarticulate love, leaving articulate the actual mountain. This is the bunch of ranunculus, rose, butter, orange crowfoot, profuse bouquet in its white china pitcher. This is the hooked rug worked in rich color, the red, blue, ochre, violet, emerald, azure, the black, pink, rose, oyster white, the orange. This is the orange measurement of the lines as I designed them. The joys of the household are fates that command us. Light song. Husband, the hand, the keys, a free improvisation, keeping the constant vowel. A music with set conjugations, notes, the light estimations of ravished ear, naturally contrived. The contrivance vanishes into itself. Thus law. It is this music that the composer dares, plays percussively the state I love. Volition, to seize in the air its form. This longing informs a declaration as, Lawrence, look, we have come through. Pound, it all coheres, a splendor. Where the spirit of the act appears, Eve, and ruthless, this is the inevitable beauty. Husbands by hand upon the keys unlock, from all compulsions, a mode. It is wed so seven pastorals Harrison played. It was the well-wise for intellect that Dante saw as God, a rose. Vanzetti beyond the miseria saw a voluntary state. The bride, wed as we move to that we await. And the rhyme waits for us, a beloved one as she wins us. I give up my poet into the tongue. She, that very Sancta Sophia it is, pictured at San Vidale in gold, mother of pearl, vermilion, purple. Word by word appears the Empress Theodora, Procopius saw was whore, faces the poet emperor, her eternal husband, witness, paramour. It is as the artist wrought it. All things hierarchically are ranged. The divine garbo has appeared in her guise. Chaplain Lawrence said was beauty in a man, in city lights, the silent moving picture speech, or indistinguishable metropolis murmuring aloud we do not hear, suggests the language we long for, hidden. As in the measures the song is hidden, heard as we sing her, word upon word, the design as we observe it. It's spring, love's spring. The April stirring, not to be denied, inert wonderings try me. And I am very death that lusts after all men, that straight and crooked draws into his ken all bright live eyes to wive avidly. The mind possesses them, another life, to trick the inevitable weather, to spring the cat. But the catch springs up from the song, long as the year, an engagement, life-lasting, even distracted. It is a melody skirted, a configuration, as in Schoenberg's serenade, a blossoming in shame, almost seen or heard, but never. An exact other melody of the strings that art refuses to render useful. And so, unrendered, we are torn apart as April rips the weather of our hearts, longing from longing. We could not afford or love-wise devise the cost that sustains it. Return, in spring up green freshet, turn, delight to the eye, spring to torso, hand spring to wheel, thigh turn upon thigh, eye light to eye, heart bound as we are bound to return, however casually, to time or place, instinct for joy. Measures wither or rot of habitual conflict. Old theme of poetry, heart-worn, were it not the source, contrary to all weariness? Thus from the lusty stalk whose green tips turns bud blast to full bloom that love in desire makes its brief room? Again and again, worm like an ideology, he eats of the core, aphids like retractions, devour grass, bush or tree in flower, serves as reminder. Wind, old theme of the poem, step to step, dance to, rewinding measures, fresh shoots of war. To vow. It is in fear of the Lord, toward whom, in whose wrath and grace, we move in love, compelled by longing, yes, and by a will we did not own, so that, holding to you as the heart holds to life holds, we are not competent to make our vows, without which no man is king. Your mystery then, kingdom, all of what I mean, upon your body laying my hand, to swear fealty, a faith, a covenant in coming. The body knows it is yearning. Heart strains, melody unfolded in nerves, curves round your felt form. Blind hand upon the book of flesh. Read where I cannot read. Vow where I cannot vow. It is because I know we may never be together again that I praise love's power. August sun. God of the idle heat in this glaring road, you dominate all, and over the green fields wilted down under your blaze. These thirsty, unruly plants grow a jungle domesticity to protect their fruit. Of all hidden things, I sing, waiting for evening's grace. Now I am going to sing a song from the close of the first act of The Maidenhead, part one of Medea at Colchis. Medea, looking from the window, seeing Jason, turns and sings this song.
Ah, knave that my heart sees, what do I care for thee? Yet I would die, yet I would die, if you would turn where you are and meet my eyes. Ah, a bird in my breast beats, what do I know of thee? Yet you would fly, yet you would fly. Somewhere a bird in the leaves waits. Oh, I know nothing of thee, except that a bird stirs, turning the whispering leaves toward the singing blue sky. Ah, he that by longing seeks, what do I fear from thee? A bird alights in the boughs of the rose bush. The garden awaits his showers of song. Push, the sound in the swelling throat bursts into notes. Dear, why does my heart fear thee? Oh, what is wrong? Yet I would die, yet I would die, if you would turn where you are, meet my eyes. Oh, knave that my heart would know, why do I care for thee? Ah, sweet, long known, unknown.
These poems that I'm going to read now are from a book which I am in the progress of writing, called The Opening of the Field. Often I am permitted to return to a meadow that is not mine, but is a made place, as if the mind made it up, a poem. Often I am permitted to return to a hall that is a made place, created by light, wherefrom the shadows that are forms fall. Wherefrom fall all architectures I am, I say are likenesses of the first beloved, whose flowers are flames lit to the lady. Often I am permitted to return to a poem where I too stirred may burn, however poor, and turn my face to her shadowless door. But I have learned that I was not a great poet, and came, if the discriminating could shame me, ashamed, to address a power that was not mine, but to which I belong. In the closet of the speech God moves. Miserably I read what contains me, and sing as my lady teaches me. Rightly dim is whatever flame here in the light I reach toward. No, this is miserable rubbish. Let us say it was an angel spoke thus, and rightly, loveless in human power. They never saw in Adam God's image, for God's image was here love, as his angelic image was power. And angels move amongst us, hating the human image of God, hating the poor love that is not God's power. And counseled then that God desert his Adam, original critics. The angelic hosts are palaces of critical fame and oblivion. Powers sweep through us from them, of glory or outrage, lonelinesses, imbecilities, vanities. Israel, who is all glory, waits. Dark, death. All the night draws back from the light of the poor candle. The dance. From its dancer circulates among the other dancers. This would have been feverish, cool excess of movement makes each man hit the pitch, coordinate. Lovely their feet pound the green solid meadow. The dances mimic flowers, roots, stem, stamen, and petal. Our words are, our articulations, our measures. It is the joy that exceeds pleasure. You have passed the count, she said, or I understood from her eyes. Now, old Friedel has grown so lovely in my years, I remember only the truth. I swear by my yearning. You have conquered the yearning, she said. The numbers have entered your feet. Turn, turn, turn. When you're real gone, boy, sweet boy, where have I gone, beloved? Into the waltz, dancer. Lovely, our circulation, sweet in the meadow. In Rubens' riotous scene, the May dances teach us our learning seeks abandon. Maximus called us to dance the man. We called him to call. Season, out of season, mind. Lovely, join me to dance green to the meadow. Whitman was right, our names are left, like leaves of grass, likeness and liking, the human greenness, tough as grass that survives cruelest seasons. I see now a radiance, the dances are gone, they lie in heaps, exhausted, dead tired, we say, I slept until noon, but I returned early for the silence, for the lovely pang that is flower, return to the silent dance ground. But that was my job that summer. I'd dance until 3, then up, to get the hall swept before 9. Beer bottles, cigarette butts, paper streamers, mementos. Writing it down now, it is the aftermath, the silence, I remember. Part of the dance, too. An articulation of the time of dancing, like the almost dead sleeping. I've got it in a poem about Friedel, moaning in the depths of, but that was another room, part of my description. What I see is a meadow. I'll slip away before they're up and see the dew shining. The law I love is major, mover, from which flow destructions of the Constitution. No nation stands unstirred in whose courts. I, John, testify, I saw. But he who judges must know mercy, as a man knows a woman in marriage. For she is fair whom we masters serve. The which, says John Quincy Adams, requires the continual exercise of virtue beyond the reach of human infirmity, even in its best estate. Responsibility is to keep the ability to respond. The myriad of spider's eyes that Rexroth saw reflecting light are glamorless, our testimony clear and true. The shaman sends himself. The universe is filled with eyes, intensities, and then intent, outflowings of evil, benedictions of the dead. But the witness brings self up before the law. It is the law before the witness that makes justice. There is no touch that is not each to each reciprocal. The scale of 5, 8, or 12 tones performs a judgment previous to music. The music restores health to the land. The land? the boy to Peer Gynt speaks, on the stage it was shown, a moving obscurity. I tried to read you, lad, who offer no text, not terror now, dumb grief it is, Diabolus, but little devils are garbled men that speak garble. Your chosen place is less than hell, nor hate nor love breeds. There disorder is not, order is not, not, no, even simpleton need demands my ear. Here, here, beautiful damned man that lays down his law, lays down himself, creates hell. A sentence unfolding healthy heaven. Thou wilt not allow the suns to move, nor man to mean desire move, nor rage for meat and wine, here where the mind nibbles, nor embrace the law under which you lie, that will not fall upon your face or upon knees, all but twisted out of shape, crippled by angelic syntax. Look, I declare, yearning, the angel that made a man of Jacob was Israel, was the law, was syntax. Him I love is major mover. The structure of rhyme, one. I asked the inexorable sentence that is manifest in the language as I make it. Speak, for I name myself your master, who would be true lover. I am thy servant. I write in obedience. Now I see the woman that I name the sentence. I shall read the sentence that I shall name the woman. Her voice comes across the waters. Have heart, you that were heartless. Suffering joy or despair, you will suffer the sentence. Beauty that was electric I saw in the living changes of syntax. Wake up, you who think you are awake. Jacob wrestled with sleep. You who fall into nothingness and dread sleep. He wrestled with sleep like a man reading a strong sentence. I will not take the actual world for granted, I said. Lovely idiot, she replied. Why? Do I not withhold the song of birds from you? Do I not withhold the penetrations of red from you? Do I not withhold the weight of mountains from you? Do I not withhold the hearts of men from you? I, the sentence, long for your demand. I, the sentence, measure your desire. Oh, beloved, sentence after sentence I make in your image. In the feet that measure the dance of my pages, I hear cosmic intoxications of the man I will be. Cheat at this game, she cries. Thou art a man or art nothing. Stand, then, so I can see you, a fierce destroyer of images. Will you drive me to madness, only there to know me, vomiting images into the place of the law? The structure of rhyme, two. What of the structure of rhyme, I asked. The messenger in guise of a lion roared. Why does man retract his song from the impoverished air? He brings his young to the opening of the field. Does he so fear beautiful compulsion? I, in the guise of a lion, roared out great vowels and heard their amazing patterns. A lion without disguise said, he that sang to charm the beasts was false of tongue. There is a melody within this surfeit of speech that is most man. What of the structure of rhyme, I asked. An absolute scale of resemblance and disresemblance establishes measures that are music in the actual world. The lion and the zodiac replied, the actual stars moving are music in the real world. This is the meaning of the music of the spheres. Structure of rhyme, three. Glare-eyed challenger, serpent skin coated accumulus of my days. Swung in your arms, I grow old. The count swings me. The days that count, my dervish invisible, the time is up. My time is up. Period by period, the sentences are bound. Fragments delivered up to what celestial timekeeper? Twice he saw an orange snake that reared up and spread his neck, cobra-wise. The orange color does not hold when the skin is worked. Summer advances, preparing new orange. The human hood spread orange in time, fixation of relentless color, character, scaly feathered presumption. After a shower, the mirror shows the body spreading. Orange in time reveals accumulations of my uses beyond all earliness. That I bring up to my time, whatever the pretense, to this rearing up, this snake stand. The structure of rhyme four. O outrider, when you come to the threshold of the stars, to the door beyond which moves celestial terror, the kin at the hearth, the continual cauldron that feeds forth the earth, the heart that comes into being through the blood, the householder among his familiar animals, the beloved turning to his beloved in the dark, creates love as the leaves create from the light life, and returns to the remote precincts where the courageous move, ramifications of the unknown that appear as trials. The master of the rhyme, time after time, came down the arranged ladders of vision or ascended the smoke and flame towers of the opposite of vision into or out of the language of daily life. Husband to the living, wife to the dead, the breath that leaps forth on the threshold of death. Thus I said to the source of my happiness, I will return, return. From the moment of your love, eternity expands, and you are mere man. Water, fire, earth, and air, all that simple elements appear, guardians are. The structure of rhyme, five. Among the bleeding branches, I heard sentences of my soliloquy. Have you heard the broken limbs of the world tree knocking, knocking? Here joy is sternest accuser, a fire that tortures the wet wood. I tried to die, one wretched voice declared. There is no death. I left my body hanging behind me. I sought the void. My body hangs before me, immortal image. Men still remember. Their prayers rise from the ground and hold me to the everlasting promise. To the atom. Obsessed poet, another cried, your desire devoured my heart. A rat tears at its mate in the rubble of the world. Let us go. The giant Adam must not awaken, for he would claim even our ravished bodies from the consuming black. Do you not see that dread as well as joy lights the lamps of his uplifted form? Stretched upon a geometry that rips the wounds from which black blood we flow? The geometry I saw, oblivious knew what of these sunderings, arranged its sentences intolerant of black or white. No, no, say that there are two worlds, a man demanded. I shot half my head away. No, a woman cried, I live in one world. You said you loved me, and it is black. I rose from breakfast, the man said. I climbed to the bedroom and spread newspapers out on the floor. My soul swings on hinges of destroyed face. Have you not seen Yggdrasil, the abattoir? The human meat is hanging from every bough. Have you no pity that you count the days of man? You took my despair, a woman cried, and will not let me die. Your aroused fire leaves shadows in my heart that whisper to the black into which I go. I'm going to read two speeches from the second act of The Maidenhead. The first speech is one of Arthur, the father of Medea, who is a poet of ...70 years. Somewhat modeled after Yeats, somewhat modeled after Maeterlinck. This is Arthur's speech. I have been in love with all beautiful resisted things, with women who knew nothing of love but who walked in pride. Yet one proud woman I heard among the dead, a whimpering shade, Edna. I have desired, I have needed, been deprived, suffered. But love? No, not loving someone or being in love, but desired, needed, been deprived of, suffered for, a speech, an articulation of the human thing. Even from pride, the women fall away, and the proud woman, into some insufficiency, a self, a person. I have come to loathe all person because it corrupts, reduces, cripples the man or the woman that is a magnificent figure. I do not crave, have not craved, love, what that woman whimpered for, what the spawn of man crawls under. I have craved, no, not pride either. Pride, like love, is a crawling place of the you, the me. Give me my scene before the act closes. And I said, our scene. It is a luminous uncertainty, a great articulation, autonomous, no respecter of person, contradictory and beautiful. Ah, then, at the thought of such a final dancing of all members devoted to the scene, that is the scene scene, my heart yearns. And then I will close with a speech of Medea's at the close of the same act. My life tears at its roots, O damned, damned body that knows all. An agony comes now. Is this your speech? Speak out, then. I am grown snake, pregnant with myself. O bloody moon, hide me. Tear this child out of me and call it love. The world itself has coils, and all my days are scales upon its glittering form. Do you know what a girl is? A baby is a most monstrous thing. The girl's its egg, its holy waiting. And now the unholy certainty sees me. Full light of the moon, dark of the moon. There is a meaning to dread, Garrow said. Witches, what can they know over some foul pot of this poison, this snake of triumphant need? I shall have Jason in the dark of this moon. I shall have Jason in the dark of this moon. He shall be driven like a knife into the heart of the snake that shall not die, nor snake nor knife, until all this writhing that is life and the world become one. Oh, I shall reach the moon itself in my agony. I shall emit a cry that will ring in the ears of men as this cry, rings in all the damned cells of my unbroken body.